Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Aletheia Church, Boston. Aletheia exists to bring the truth, grace, and changing power of the gospel for the glory of God and the good of all people. For more information, visit aletheia.org.
Today we're going to be continuing our teaching series in the book of Romans. We're in season 4, thinking about what kind of people the gospel makes. Last week we looked at the 14th and going a little bit into the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, and what we learned was that fear, when we're afraid, it has a high degree of likelihood of producing anxiety, which leads to overactivity, overfunctioning, or underfunctioning, just pulling away and not caring. But faith, when we're really trusting Jesus, it breeds hope and peace and calm. And then allows us to take personal responsibility and step out into our world and act. And boy, right now, family, do we need Christians that know how to step into the world and act. And so today, as we continue our teaching series, we're going to be looking at the remainder of chapter 15 together, and we're going to be thinking about what that meant for the Apostle Paul. What did it look like for him to act in a non-anxious, faith-filled way that looked the bad news right in the face when it was bad, that looked the good news right in the face and thanked God when it was good, and allowed him to keep on going? What was that in him? Today we're going to think about that. So join me in your Bible in Romans chapter 15. I'll read, we'll pray, and God's going to speak to us today wherever you're listening to this. Romans 15, starting in verse 13, says this: "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points, I have written you very boldly, by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a little while. At present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it. And indeed, they owe it to them, for if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought to be of service to them in material blessings. When, therefore, I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Holy Spirit, wherever my friends are watching this today, whether they've been following Jesus for a long time or maybe they're really new at this whole thing, would you, God, speak to us right where we are? I thank you, God, that there's nothing, not even a lack of presence together, not even watching a sermon and engaging over the internet, nothing can keep us from you. And so, God, would you right now fill my friends, speak to them, God, and show us what it means to lead and lead in an apostolic way, to have hope, to look forward, and to do so in an apostolic way. In Jesus' name, amen. for those of you who are not familiar with the Christian part of the internet, but part of that is filled with debates, some of them very interesting, most of them very stupid. And one of the maybe half interesting, half stupid debates is over the word apostolic. The word apostolic, for a very long time, simply referred to the apostles that you would think of in the New Testament, the 12. But within the late 20th century, there were some scholars who began to look at this word and look again at what the New Testament had to say about apostles and realized that the word apostle or apostolic was applied to more than just the 12. It was applied to additional people who... not many of them, but a few of them, who seem to have a ministry of leadership, but not an ugly one, a ministry of moving the borders of the kingdom of God out and orienting and marshaling the people of God and the resources of the kingdom of God toward the mission of God. That seems to be what Paul's mission was. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. That the word apostle simply comes from a Greek word, apostolos. It means sent one, or the verbal form means to send. So Paul understood himself and the other leaders of the church in Jerusalem understood Paul to be an apostle sent to the Gentiles. That is, someone taking the kingdom of God out of its current location, expanding its borders, and particularly for the Apostle Paul, it meant being sent and expanding the borders of the kingdom into those Gentile, non-Jewish regions of the world. And so as we're wrapping up the book of Romans, and as he's talking about what he's hoping for, we're going to see a couple of things today. We're going to see that the nature of his hope was wrapped fully around the gospel. Because a lot of what he's saying here in the remainder of this chapter is a recap of what he said in chapters 1, 2, and 3. He's reminding us why he's writing, what he's hoping for. But mostly what he's showing us is the nature of his apostolic hope. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. What is the nature of apostolic hope? Now, maybe you're sitting there listening and thinking, well, that's neat, Pastor Adam, but I'm not an apostle. Yes, I know that. But apostolic hope should shape the way we hope. Because if we are led by those people that Jesus has sent to lead us, then the nature of our hope should be formed and shaped and molded around the nature of their hope. Just like our theology is wrapped and formed around their theology, and our prayers are wrapped and formed around their prayers, and our understanding of God is wrapped and formed around their writings, I want to take a minute and look at what animated the Apostle Paul's hope, and then teach you how to have apostolic hope. So let's see if we can think a little bit about that here in the remainder of chapter 15. So look with me quickly in verses 13 through 15 of this chapter. He says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Boy, that's difficult to read right now. Many of us, especially with what's going on in the world, abounding in hope. I mean, my goodness, some of you are just kind of scraping enough hope like lichen off a rock just to sort of keep together. And here the apostle is saying, I want you to abound in hope. Yes, Pastor Adam also wants you to abound in hope, because the reality is we're the people of God. And we're not the people of God because we're smarter or better. We're the people of God because of what Jesus has done. And if that's true, and it is, we should abound in hope. So the Apostle Paul is hoping we will abound in hope. He's praying for that by the power of the Spirit we'll abound. So how do we do that? Well, he keeps on by saying in verse 14, "I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace of God given to me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God." So the first thing I want you to see is that apostolic hope is parental. It's fatherly. It's familial. For the Apostle Paul, apostolic hope was fatherly. He prayed for them. He said, "I want you to abound in hope by the Holy Spirit." But then he spoke to them like brothers, and he spoke to them as if he was a father. Many other places in the Apostle Paul's writing, you'll find him talking about being a father, particularly to Timothy and Titus. But then he also talks about bearing the churches in his heart, as if he were like a mother in the pains of childbirth. So all of this language is very, very parental, very familial, and for Paul, very fatherly. What does that mean for you? Friend, if you're going to hope in Jesus, then the nature of your hope has to be connected to spiritual family. Christianity is not a single-player game, man. Christianity, following Jesus, being a disciple, is a team sport. It requires spiritual family. And so maybe you're feeling really alone. Look, I totally get it. I am an extrovert, and I've been in my house for too many days, all right? And I'm missing just being around people. I'm missing hearing the din of the city of Boston, just the noise of people and the hustle and bustle. But that doesn't mean that I don't have spiritual family. And it doesn't mean you don't have spiritual family. If you're listening to this and you're like, how do I get more connected? We can certainly provide you resources. You can jump on our website and jump into a small group. There's never been a better time. But I want you to see, apostolic hope is familial. It's fatherly. Now, what does that look like? Well, the Apostle Paul says, listen, I trust you because you're able to instruct one another. But on some points, I've had to kind of harshly correct you, he says, very strongly correct you in verse 15. Apostolic hope is not just an empty glass that you get to fill with meaning. In a family, you're going to be encouraged, and you have a role to encourage each other. But also, you have to be able to receive both encouragement and correction. The reality is, in our world right now, especially in the West, it's hard for us to receive correction. We don't like it. We think that that somehow the church shouldn't be allowed to correct me. But I just have to tell you, I'm a better man because fathers in my life, mothers in my life, brothers and sisters in my life have not just encouraged me, but they've corrected me. So apostolic hope is familial. It's parental. And we have to be able to receive it as those who are part of a family. Let's carry on by reading into verse 17. He goes on by saying, in Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, and by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Listen. Apostolic hope is definitely familial, but apostolic hope is powerful. It's powerful. There's worldly hope, and worldly hope is like, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow, or I hope this virus ends soon, or I hope the economy recovers, or I hope that I get to go do what I want. It's located in this world, and it's built on the future possibilities of good things happening in this world. Now, nothing wrong with hoping for that, but that's not apostolic hope. And if all of your hope is built on those things, then your hope, my friend, is built on a very shaky foundation. But apostolic hope is powerful because it's empowered by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, with signs and wonders, and with good works. Let me show you what he says. He says, listen, I have reason to be proud of my work in Christ Jesus, proud of my work for God. Now, what he doesn't mean is what we normally think of as pride, like just this self-aggrandizing, I'm the man, I don't need anybody. No, listen to what he's saying. The Apostle Paul is saying, my pride, my sense of I did a good job, is all located in the power of what God has done through me. Do you see how that works? Being proud of the work you've done, it isn't wrong, but pride without location in the kingdom or connection to what Christ has done in you, boy, that's going to lead you down a really bad road. So apostolic hope, if you're going to have apostolic hope, it's got to be built on the powerful demonstration of the Word of God, the power of God, signs and wonders, and good deeds. Let me show you. He says in the end of verse 17, I am proud of what Christ has accomplished through me, by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit. I want to show you how apostolic hope, the power of it, is located in like real tangible realities. We are constantly amazed as a staff at the unbelievable, unexpected ways you, as our church body, act like Christians and do godly things. And one of my favorite things about being a pastor is hearing all the good stories, reading all the connection cards, and getting a front row seat to what God is doing in our spiritual family. And I'm here to tell you, the power of God is alive at work. In these last few weeks, there have been miraculous forms of provision. There have been signs and wonders of God's presence among us. The Word of God is rescuing people. We have led people to faith in Jesus using online platforms that weeks ago, if you'd asked me if I even wanted to do that, I would have said, no, I just want them to show up to church. God is doing something through us. And like the Apostle Paul, I'm proud. I'm proud of you, church. I'm proud of what God's doing in us. I'm not proud of you know, my own ingenuity or any one particular staff member's you know, sort of natural gifting. I am shocked and amazed at the power of God among His people. And I hope you are too. Where should we look for the power of God? First of all, it says in word and in deed. Your words have the ability to demonstrate God's power or demonstrate your own power. What are they doing? Your deeds have the ability to demonstrate God's power or demonstrate your power. What are they doing? In the coming weeks, our world, our neighborhoods, our cities are going to need the people of God to step up in deed and in word. One of the dumbest arguments that happened in the 20th century inside of the church is, should we be proclaimers of the gospel, or should we like help society by doing good works? And Jesus must have been up in heaven hearing that debate going like, yes? Because the answer is yes. Good works, apart from proclamation, aren't all that good. And proclamation, apart from good works, is hypocrisy. But when we bring them together, when we preach clearly and boldly salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, and follow that up with, hey, I love you, and I'm your neighbor, and I know that we don't really know each other, but how can I help you? What do you need? I'm going to the store. How can I? Are you okay with money? Can I pray for you? Good works and the good word come together as the power of God. So apostolic hope is parental. It's powerful. It's also demonstrated in signs and wonders. Listen, God loves to show off His power. I know some of you are maybe like, well, maybe that happened a long time ago in the Bible, but there are less of those today. There are less of those today for those who have a hard time trusting. But one of the advantages of being a part of a global, vibrant, spiritual family is hearing the miracle ways. Checks have shown up in the mail. Blind eyes have been opened. The dead have been raised. I'm here to tell you, these things still happen. So apostolic hope trusts God for those things. It's parental and it's powerful. Let me show you what else apostolic hope is. He says in verse 20, "And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. As it is written, those who have never been told of Him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain." Apostolic hope is passionate about the mission of God. Apostolic hope is looking out at, I have to see men and women find and follow Jesus Christ. This week, I was on a few prayer calls with some national leaders of the church in America, and I was watching some of them on Facebook Live and some other regions of kind of the internet, and they were saying things that were already stirring in my spirit, and it's this. This is our time to stand up and get the mission done. We exist as a church to make disciples who bring the truth and the grace and the changing power of the gospel for the glory of God and the good of all people. And by all people, I mean all people. We mean all people. We're part of a spiritual family called Every Nation. And the end of our own mission statement says all people. So I don't know if you can maybe glean from what our words are pointing to, but we passionately care about the gospel of Jesus Christ going out from wherever we are to the places where it hasn't come yet. The Apostle Paul says, listen, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ has not yet been named. There are neighborhoods, there are streets, there are cubicles, there are homes, there are parts of your family where Christ has not yet been named. And apostolic hope is built and wrapped around a passion to bring the gospel of Jesus to those places. Is it a little scary? Yeah. But everything great is a little scary. Is it hard? Yeah. But everything great is hard. Is it going to cost you some popularity? Yeah. But Don't you think that the well done, good and faithful servant of your heavenly Father is worth 10,000 rejections by humans? Oh, friends, that we would have apostolic hope, paternal, passionate, and powerful. Let me show you what else marks apostolic hope. He goes on to say in verses 22 through 29, we'll pick it up in verse 25. At present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it. And indeed, they owe it to them, for the Gentiles have come to share in their blessings. They ought to be of service to them in material blessings. Apostolic hope is passionate about the gospel. It's powerful. It's paternal, but it's also compassionate. You see, it can never be the case that we're gung-ho about telling people about Jesus, but not gung-ho about helping them. And so the Apostle Paul felt very, very naturally that it was his duty as a leader in the Church of Jesus Christ to provide for the needs of other men and women of God. And so in the coming days and weeks, friends, we're going to do this organically within our church. We've already set up a way for you to give directly to our benevolence fund so that we can reallocate budgeted money toward the needs of saints in our own church. And you bet that in the coming days, we're going to start listening for the global church and hear how do we need to help others who are maybe more affected in different regions. We don't know yet how this virus is going to affect everyone globally, how it's going to affect the church, and how it's going to affect people who don't know Jesus. But something that should mark our hope is passion for Jesus and compassion for those who are hurting, who are hungry. In the coming days, people are going to die. In the coming days, people are going to experience mental health challenges. In the coming days, people are going to feel lonely. In the coming days, job insecurity is going to rise. Food insecurity is going to rise. So we have to show up with compassion. We have to show up with help, with material service. And we're going to need you. Listen, I'm pretty good at preaching this Bible, but right now, we're leading our church through a pivot toward what does it mean to get ready to help those who need help. So for me, as someone who is sent to lead, to plant, and to plant more churches, my hope is passionate for Jesus, but it's also built on compassion for others. And I hope that you'll join me in the coming days for showing compassion to those who desperately need it. And then finally, as he ends this chapter, he says this, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Apostolic hope is fatherly and paternal. Apostolic hope is powerful, empowered by the Holy Spirit with word and deed and signs and wonders. Apostolic hope is passionate about the gospel moving forward and compassionate toward those who desperately need our help. And finally, apostolic hope has to be bathed in prayer. Listen, if anybody could have gotten it done without asking for help in prayer, it was probably Paul, don't you think? Like, Paul was Paul. He wrote the Bible. I don't know, like, what you like to do in your spare time or how you respond to difficulty. But when Paul was trapped in jails, he wrote Bible, right? And that's a little bit more productive than stuff I've been doing and probably stuff you've been doing. So if anyone could have gotten it done without the assistance of prayer, maybe it was Paul. But even Paul understood, I need your prayers, friends. He says, would you please strive with me in prayer so that I'll be delivered from evil, so that my service will be acceptable, and that by God's will, I can come to you and keep the mission going. Friends, if you're going to have hope, like the apostle had hope, if you're going to have apostolic hope, it has to be prayerful. Every Monday through Friday, Pastor Donnie is leading a prayer call online midday. You can get all of those details on our website. This is a great time to just check in and pray with your pastor. Every day, we are seeing community groups get together through Zoom or Google Hangouts. This is a great time to get together with your group and pray for one another. Every day, your phone still works, and you can actually pick it up. You don't need the church to plan it. You can pick it up and call one of your brothers and sisters in the Lord and say, would you pray for me today? Every day, we need more of Jesus Every day we need more of the power of the Holy Spirit, not just God to do stuff for us, but for us to be present in His presence. Apostolic hope is wrapped around prayer. And so today I simply want to ask you, how's your hope? Is the hope contained within you gone? Is the hope contained within you just built on your circumstances and only looking for, you know, the recovery or the moment that you finally get to go back outside again? Or is your hope an apostolic hope? If you belong to King Jesus today, these words are to encourage you, are to challenge you, maybe to rebuke you, so that your hope will be set on those things that are apostolic. That your hope would be built in our spiritual family, that your hope would be powerfully illuminated and oriented toward the Word of God showing up in the presence of the Spirit, that your hope would be passionate for the advance of the gospel and compassionate for those who don't know Jesus and need help, and that would be bathed in prayer. Your hope, my friends, my fellow followers of Jesus, must be an apostolic hope. And for those of you who aren't yet followers of Jesus, my encouragement is this. There's a hope that you can have that is stronger than the situation, that is firmer than just the economy, that is built on something even more stable than your bodily health. There is hope that you can have in Jesus, because Jesus Christ has come in human form to live lives that we can't live, fully hoping and trusting in Jesus. He actually acquiesced to the pain and suffering of death in our place, so that even when our bodies die, we know we will rise again because Jesus rose again. And He sits at the right hand of His Heavenly Father, ruling and reigning until the enemies of Satan, sin, death, and demons are fully put to rest and His kingdom comes in the end. And in between His resurrection and His return, you, my friend, can have apostolic hope. If you turn from whatever you're hoping in right now and you trust in Jesus and you say, Jesus, I want my hope to be built on You. I believe that You lived and died and rose, and I want to follow You with all of my heart and all of my soul. You today can have apostolic hope. I hope that wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you will put your hope in King Jesus, and you will allow an apostolic hope to begin to be your hope in this time.